So fasting duration is anywhere from 2 to 40 days. We limit fasting at the True North Health Center to generally 40 days. During that period of time, you can have safe and effective experiences. You start doing longer fast than that, it gets a little bit more complicated. Average fast range from 1 to 3 weeks. Some patients require multiple fasts. Now, there's a lot of mistaken ideas about fasting. And at the True North Health Center, with research that's being done by the True North Health Foundation, our 501c3 nonprofit research organization, we've been able to answer some of those old wives' tales and mistaken beliefs. One of those is about body composition changes during fasting. Now, we were able to obtain a DEXA scanner and do detailed body composition analysis of individuals going through a study that we conducted on fasting. And essentially what we found in this study was that, yes, patients lose both lean tissue and fat during fasting. And you can see from this composition trend here that lean tissue goes down during fasting, as does fat. What's interesting, as you break the fast and begin refeeding, lean tissue recovers, but fat loss continues. And so not only do people lose fat during fasting, but they lose a particular type of fat called visceral fat. And the ratio that visceral fat is burned compared to adipose tissue is actually higher in fasting than anything else that's been demonstrated to date. It's actually almost 3 to 1. And so what ends up happening is people lose a bunch of weight during fasting. Some of it's protein, some of it's water, some of it's fiber, some of it's glycogen, and some of it's fat. They come off the fast, they regain their water, their glycogen, their protein, their fiber, but the fat loss continues. So that if you look at people at the end of fasting, this particular individual lost 12% of total weight, 18% of fat loss, but over 54% of their visceral fat, of their entire visceral fat load, and only 4% of lean tissue. And then on recovery, they recover that lean tissue and more. In fact, at 6 weeks in the study that we've done, we found that the lean tissue mass was actually higher at 6 week follow-up than it was prior to fasting, even though the fat loss had actually continued. So it's really a way of reformulating the body, getting rid of the fat, particularly the visceral fat, and allowing for recovery of the glycogen, water, fiber, and protein. The problem is, of course, you do need to eat healthfully after the fasting. If you go back to a greasy, fatty, slimy, dead, decaying flesh diet based on refined carbohydrates and processed foods, you will, in fact, go back into getting the problems that you had before. So, conclusion of this study is that the larger percentage of visceral fat was lost compared to subcutaneous fat, that the loss continued through refeeding of fat. No other method has been identified as efficient a means of mobilizing visceral fat. And we are, in fact, conducting more research on this very issue. We're also looking at some of the biomarkers, things like adnopectin and others that indicate inflammation and associated with visceral fat. And we're looking forward to running those analyses. Another condition that's a major contributing cause of death and disability, in fact, the leading cause of death and disability, and if you include the conditions associated with it, is high blood pressure. High blood pressure and the conditions associated with high blood pressure kill more people than any other in industrialized society. For example, 5.7 million people have congestive heart failure, of which 287,000 die each year, and blood pressure is the major preventable factor. Congestive heart failure, when your heart muscle doesn't pump the blood efficiently enough. So for example, if you were to lie down with congestive heart failure, your lungs would fill with fluid. So people have to literally like sleep sitting up if they have congestive heart failure as a consequence of this imbalance. And stroke, you know, over 800,000 people this year will have strokes, and high blood pressure is in fact the major preventable reason why people have strokes. What's shocking is that 40% of people over 25 now have high blood pressure, and 63% over 60. So if you're 60 and you don't have hypertension, you are abnormal. High blood pressure is the leading justification for visits to physicians and justification for prescription medications. This thing is worth billions of dollars to the pharmaceutical industry. But drug intervention is actually largely disappointing, with improved outcomes only for those with the highest levels of hypertension, and mostly because of its effect to reduce stroke slightly for people with elevated blood pressure levels. Doesn't do as good a job on cardiac arrest. And in fact, the majority of people that have heart attacks and strokes from high blood pressure actually have blood pressure that's not high enough to justify medications. So if your blood pressure is 138 over 88, your risk of dying taking blood pressure medications may be higher than your risk of dying from a heart attack as a consequence of high blood pressure, which is why they don't recommend blood pressure medications until your blood pressure rises to quite a high level, high enough to justify the benefit versus the risk of taking medication. For every point your systolic blood pressure is reduced by diet and lifestyle, there's a 1% reduction in all-cause mortality. And that risk may go down as low as to as 90 over 60. So blood pressure of 120 over 80, if you make diet and lifestyle changes, your blood pressure will likely lower even further. And that further reduction is associated with a further reduction in all-cause mortality. Now, despite this, the reality is this is how we manage blood pressure. 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 different medications. And these medications have serious side effects like chronic cough, fatigue, impotence, and actually death. People die from taking the blood pressure medications at a high enough rate that they have to wait till your risk factor of dying from stroke is high enough to justify that risk. And what's really frustrating is if you go to a doctor and they put you on these medications, they will tell you that you will have to be on these drugs forever, that you will be sick for the rest of your life, that you will never recover. It's said that according to one of the major medical society's websites, people with hypertension can't be cured because there's no underlying cause for the high blood pressure. Therefore, there is nothing that can be fixed to resolve it. And yet, our experience has been very different. If you look at the medical literature, there's a number of things that have shown to reduce blood pressure: weight loss, vegetarian high fiber diets, not drinking alcohol. Even 2 drinks a week are enough to measurably elevate an individual's blood pressure. Exercise lowers blood pressure almost as effectively as any combination of medications, which do lower blood pressure, an average of 12 points systolic blood pressure, but at a cost of chronic cough, fatigue, impotence, and actual death. Sodium restriction, if it's done aggressively to less than 1 milligram of sodium per calorie, can reduce blood pressure even more effectively than medications. John McDougall did a study at St. Helena Hospital combining a vegan low-fat, low-salt diet and exercise, and he found an effect size as large as anything until we did a study with T. Colin Campbell from Cornell University, where we used medically supervised water-only fasting along with a whole plant food diet, and we were able to demonstrate the largest effects that have ever been shown in treating high blood pressure in humans. In a paper that was published in JMPT, medically supervised water-only fasting in the treatment of hypertension, we took 174 consecutive patients, and 174 people achieved low enough pressure to eliminate the need for medication, with an average effect size of stage 3 hypertension of over 60 points. And of course, if the blood pressure was more moderate, the results were proportional. We published a second study, medically supervised water-only fasting in the treatment of borderline hypertension, which was treating people that didn't yet have blood pressure high enough to justify the risk of medication, but still high enough to increase the risk of dying. And those individuals, 68 people, underwent medically supervised fasting, and they were able to achieve, all of them achieved normal blood pressure, 82% below 120 over 80. None of them required medication. And this was our second paper on hypertension. As a consequence of those first two studies, we were approached by the International Union of Operating Engineers, California's largest, perhaps most powerful labor union, people that build your highways and whatnot. And they asked us to consider making our program a fully covered medical benefit for the International Union of Operating Engineers. We presented our data and they asked us if we could make the program available, but also do a study. And so we took the first 30 consecutive patients that they submitted to us. They fasted an average of 3 weeks. They lost 26 pounds on average. Their blood pressure was down 30 by 11 on follow-up. They had maintained an additional 2 pounds of weight loss. They maintained much of their blood pressure reduction. And what the union was excited about was the entire cost of the program They save more money than the entire cost of the program in the first year alone, just in reduced medical cost and drug savings.